The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I hope you're having a wonderful Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm excited today because we have two very interesting questions that have come in from listeners just like you. Here's one. How trendy should pastors be? That's an interesting one, and I think that'll make for a fun discussion. Also, another question that we're going to cover today is this. Is the prayer of salvation a good thing? If you've got questions, maybe like these or like whatever you want to ask, you can send us those questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, if you've got too many questions to put in an email, maybe you ought to consider coming to our National Bible Conference. That's right, the Grace Evangelical Society puts on a National Bible Conference. It's coming up very soon. I hope that you'll consider joining us for it. You can do that by registering on our website, faithalone.org. You can get all the details you need right there on the site. So come and join us. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, here we are back to discussing the Bible and theology and all the questions you might have about particular verses and do they contradict faith alone or what is this about? How does this play out in the Christian life or what do we think about, you know, current trends and whatnot? And because, you know, Bob and I are super experts on contemporary trends in evangelicalism,
oh,
right?
Oh, my. Well, you are because you read everything, but I try to keep up.
You know, there's a writer I like, Dr. Randy White, and I think he's coming out with a book called Evangelical Garbage or something soon. He's a Baptist pastor, but who's really kind of reacting against modern evangelicalism. And I interviewed him in the magazine before. I don't want to misquote him, but I think one of the points he makes is evangelical pastors need to stop worrying about trends and trying to stay on top of trends and trying to be trendy and having a vision and whatnot for their church. And they just need to just go to the Word and just preach what the Word says.
And, makes a lot of sense.
And honestly, that's kind of what we do, right? I mean, we don't care so much about what's trendy in evangelicalism. We're just trying to explain the Word verse by verse, no matter what might be happening, you know, whatever's considered cool.
You know, this reminds me of...
You're just naturally cool, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. This reminds me of what you were saying about, what's the guy's name? Ian, the guy that plays Gandalf in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, McKellen or something.
And you showed me a little clip.
Oh, this is a great clip.
And what did he say?
He's explaining to Ricky Gervais, and this is a joke, it's a setup, what makes him a good actor.
Right. And what did he say?
And he said something like, and he's just deadpanning it, and he's like, see, what makes me a good actor is that I imagine what this character would do.
What a wizard would do.
Yeah, and he's using the Gandalf as an example. He's like, I told the director, you know, you realize that I am not, in fact, a wizard. The director, Jackson something. And he's like, yes, I understand that. I just want you to play a wizard. And Ian McKellen is like, yes. So what I do is I imagine what it is a wizard would do, and then I act that way.
And
that's why he's such a good actor.
And that you may wonder why I bring that up, because you can ask yourself the question, what does the Bible say? And I teach what the Bible says.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not that complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like an actor acts and a preacher preaches.
Right.
I mean, how complicated is that?
Right, right.
Now, there's lots of different ways in which you can preach and teach, but if you're not preaching the Word, then there's little value.
Yeah.
And so I hope this guy, Evangelical Garbage, is that what he called it?
I think that might be the title of the
Something
book.
Like
I might
that.
Be wrong about that, but Dr. Randy White, and you can look up Randy White Ministries, and he considers himself a fundamentalist. But I think I've never really thought of it this way. He's a fundamentalist, not an evangelical, he says, because evangelicals think that the kingdom is now and you have to bring in the kingdom now. But fundamentalists know that the millennial kingdom is future.
Okay, well then call me a fundamentalist I'm an evangelical, but I believe the kingdom is not now.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure. If that is the dividing line, then definitely I'm on the fundamentalist side. The kingdom is future, and I'm not trying to bring in the kingdom now. And I guess that's why we're not trying to stay on top of trends and stuff like
right,
that, because
right.
our job is not to bring in the kingdom. That's Jesus' job. Our job is just to be clear.
Yeah, it'd be a heavy responsibility if somehow we're supposed to bring in the kingdom ourselves.
Oh, man, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes people ask, like, aren't you worried about how the church is going and how the world is going? And that's way above my pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that's way above my pay grade.
Right.
I just have we have our little vocation here, you know, our job. You know, I have my kids to take care of, my wife, and we're just going to be faithful with what we got.
Yeah, and Jesus is Lord of the church.
Yeah, he's the boss.
He's the one that says the gates of hell won't prevail against my church. It's not like... Okay, he commissioned Grace Evangelical Society to somehow oversee the worldwide church.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that there's somebody out there, what would we call him? Maybe a pope?
Right.
That was somehow in charge of the church?
Yeah.
No, there is no such person.
Right.
Except for Jesus. He's
right.
in charge of he's the head of the body.
Absolutely. And that kind of frees you up just to preach the word and not try to be all trendy and stuff.
Yeah.
Because... that's all that Jesus has asked you to do. Okay, here is a question from Bert. And Bert says, your series on the gospel tracts was wonderful. And I guess we did a series on, you have a collection of gospel tracts.
I do. I have.
And we kind of analyzed
100
some of them.
Or more, I don't know.
And he says, this is more of a comment than a question. He says, call me a cynic, but this is his analysis of how the prayer of salvation and other salvation markers came into being. And by that, he means, you know, a lot of tracts say, you know, you got to say this prayer or fill out this card, or if you want more information, you got to do this, that, and the other thing
right.
to be saved or whatever. This is his idea, evangelists reporting back to supporting churches, and they needed, in their minds, methods for counting or numbering the decisions when reporting back to their supporting ministry. So basically, they needed to tell the people who were giving money how many, you know, heads they got at this
right.
evangelistic
oh, yeah.
campaign. And so these evangelists were seeking for human methods to justify their support, their jobs, and their paychecks. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think there's no question. I mean, he's absolutely right. And not only that, but that's in many ways modern parachurch ministry, modern missions.
Right.
I know when I was on staff with what's now called CRU, used to be called Campus Crusade for Christ.
Yeah.
There was an emphasis on, in the last month, I witnessed to so many people, and so many people, we used to call it prayed to receive Christ.
Yeah.
So many people were born again under my ministry. In the last year, I witnessed to X, and I remember there's one evangelistic ministry where they would report, okay, in the last month, missionary evangelistic ministry that reported they had witnessed to something like 150,000 people. And they were saying 135,000 wow. prayed to receive Christ or indicated
wow.
they had received Christ. And I'm like, they were having over 90% in many cases, 85-90%.
That's better than Jesus.
Yeah, better than anybody. And I remember I have a friend who was, you know him, Lauren Fall, a missionary
yeah.
in the Dominican Republic. And he would spend, he was 19 years there. In a given year, he might lead one or two people to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he would have youth groups come over, you know, people from churches come over from the States, and they would read tracts to people. And in the course of a week, they might have 30 people pray some prayer.
Yeah.
And he said he felt they were doing more harm than good because what they were doing was giving these people a false sense of security, like, well, I prayed the gringo's prayer, so that must mean I'm okay.
Right.
Because they prayed the right prayer, and it became almost superstitious.
Right.
And he said, no, what I'd like you to do is just talk to him about Jesus and the need to believe in him,
yep.
and then leave the results up to God. Don't feel like you need to seal the deal and go home and tell your people. So absolutely, I'm convinced that what Bert's saying, it's right in missions. It's right in parachurch ministry.
Yeah.
I like when I'm speaking in front of a group or if I'm talking to an individual, just to tell them, if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life, and say, so if you believe in Jesus, what would you have?
Yeah.
And they would go, everlasting life. Well, I don't feel the need to say, okay, now how many here believe in Jesus and have everlasting life? Let's raise our hands. I don't do that.
Right.
Because I feel like what that leads to is peer pressure for people to raise their hands,
yeah,
to go along, and especially in certain countries. Like if you're in Asia, there's a lot of honor within Asia where you want to honor a speaker.
Sure.
And the same thing is true in South America and Central America.
Sure.
They have very high regard for patriarchs and matriarchs and for people in authority.
Yeah.
And so if you're speaking and they say, well, how many of you have done what I want you to do? You're going to get a lot of people going along.
Out of politeness.
Right.
Raise their
right.
hands. Sometimes when I evangelize, I'll just say, listen, you don't have to get up. You don't have to raise your hand.
Right.
Wherever you're sitting, you've either been persuaded or not. And you've
right.
either believed or not. And I don't really have number. You know, there's no numbers to report. I don't know how many people have believed. I kind of think the Holy Spirit, for the most part, works in people secretly, ways that you don't really see. And then maybe one day they're at home and they're chopping the onions and they're like, no, I do believe in Jesus for eternal life. And it just kind of happens right there. And there was no big show or anything about it.
You know, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, and uh-huh. God gave the growth.
Right.
There were lots of people that Paul led to faith in Christ and Apollos came along and discipled him.
Right.
But then there were also situations where Jesus said, others ministered, and you came in and reaped the harvest.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
The disciples were oftentimes reaping a harvest that other people had begun.
Right.
I think there's normally a chain of people that influence someone to come to faith in Christ,
yeah.
not just one person.
No, there's usually lots. But I think, though, that ministries do have some responsibility to the people who are supporting them. And so it's like you want to show that, hey, I haven't been laying around all day just enjoying the money you've been sending us. You know, we have been working, you know, we have been serving the Lord, and here's what we've been doing.
But that's what you see in the epistles. You don't
right.
see in the epistles, I led X number of people to faith in Christ. Paul doesn't say that.
Right.
Instead, what you see is I've been doing this and this and this.
Right.
And Paul will say, I thank God for your fellowship in my gospel ministry.
Yeah.
Because they're sharing in his ministry.
Yes.
You know, we're delighted if we have an impact in your life.
Yes.
And if you come to faith in Christ, or if you're someone who had assurance in the past but we've helped you get it back, that's fantastic. And whether you pray for us only or also give financially, God works out the details, and we've been so blessed.
Yes.
We're just very thankful for all of you and for the Lord who's raised up this group of people who support this ministry.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, do you struggle with using foul language? Tune in for that. Should be interesting. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.